proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting you another radio Bible session. We continue our study of the life of Elijah, described in James chapter 5 as a man of like passions like unto us. Elijah had just won a great spiritual victory on Mount Carmel. But when Jezebel heard about the death of her idolatrous prophets, she became enraged. According to 1 Kings chapter 19, she dispatched a messenger to Elijah bearing a threat. Quote, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Unquote. Elijah took her threat seriously. He well understood the evil nature of Jezebel's character. Yet, he could have questioned her means for carrying out her threat. After the event at Mount Carmel, few people might have wanted to undertake action against a man who could pray fire down from heaven. At any rate, Elijah fled from the kingdom of Israel. He traveled south toward Beersheba. While sitting underneath a juniper tree, Elijah prayed that he might die. On two occasions, the angel of the Lord came to him as he slept and brought him food. The messenger told Elijah to, quote, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee," unquote. After Elijah consumed the food, he traveled an additional 40 days and 40 nights unto Mount Horeb. Most commentators, by the way, identify Mount Horeb with Mount Sinai, where God gave the Mosaic Law to the Israelites. After Elijah arrived at Mount Horeb, he lived in a cave. God encountered him, asking, quote, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Unquote. By posing that question, God might have implicitly accused Elijah of dereliction of his duties, as if to say, "You should be in Israel, not here." Elijah replied, quote, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Unquote. Note that Elijah made no mention of the will of God in the matter. It was not, after all, the will of God that he leave Israel to go to Horeb. In his response, Elijah focused on his own circumstances. He denounced his people as spiritual adulterers and potential murderers, and depicted himself as their victim. God then told Elijah to stand on the mountain. God sent a strong wind, an earthquake, and a fire. Nonetheless, he did not manifest his presence in any of these phenomena. Finally, God spoke in a still, small voice. Upon hearing that sound, the prophet wrapped himself in his cloak. God repeated his earlier question to Elijah, "What doest thou here?" The prophet repeated his earlier reply to God. God then told Elijah to return to Israel by way of Damascus. God gave a threefold commission to Elijah. First of all, Elijah was to anoint Hazael as the king of Syria. He was also to anoint Jehu as the king of Israel. And finally, he was to anoint Elisha as a prophet of God. Note that none of these men immediately replaced their predecessors. At the end of God's directive, he took occasion to correct one of Elijah's misconceptions. Elijah had said that he was the only one who followed the true God. God corrected him in that matter, saying, quote, "Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed them." Unquote. Elijah did in fact find and anoint Elisha as his successor. It would remain to Elisha to fulfill the other parts of the commission. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.